Colossians chapter 3, we're going to look at a very familiar passage of Scripture. We all have heard this more than once, verses 23 and 24. And this will just be a few moments of time. I'm not planning on being a long time here tonight. But the title that I gave this is When You Feel Like a Slave. Okay, that's the title. When you feel like a slave, what do you do? What do you do when you feel like a slave? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you'll help us tonight, God, as we share this inspired word of God, Lord, that it'll go forth in spirit and in truth, God, and we'll listen and we'll learn and we'll grow by it, God. Lord, and you'll give us direction and help in the areas that we need help with in our lives tonight, God. We thank you for it. In your name, Jesus, amen. So let's read these verses before I get started. Colossians 3, verses 23 and 24. And down through here, he's given advice for domestic life. You can go up above, starting in verse 18, and it comes down through. But now, it says, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. And so I was talking, and I was saying, and there's probably been times in our lives where we all felt like a slave. And when you feel like a slave, you'll do what was expected of you, but you don't put your whole heart into it. You just do it. All of us, when we were raised and we were children, and there's still some here tonight that are younger, and there's times that my parents wanted me to do certain things. Your parents wanted you to do certain things. There was that expectation, you will cut the grass. And you would go out there and you would cut the grass, but your heart wasn't in it. It was the biggest chore. It was the biggest task. You just didn't want to do it because you were feeling like a slave. And my youngest son, what he did to me one time, I was so proud of him. I said, son, I want you to mow the lawn. But I was having doubts he was going to mow the grass. And I went to work, and I forget what shift I was working. And I came home, and behold, when I pulled up to the house, the grass is cut. And I'm like, this is too good to be true. But being skeptical like I was, I checked out the backyard. He didn't cut the backyard. He just cut the front yard. He made it look good. His heart wasn't in it. He didn't say it, but why was it? Because he was feeling like a slave. He was feeling like, I just have to do this and I don't want to do that. And that's not a good feeling when you have the feeling of being a slave. When I was at home, there was different things that I would have to do. We would have to take turns, and I had three brothers, and so we would get a week at a time, and Dad saw fit, and it was a good thing. At the time, we didn't think it was too good. We sort of liked it, and we sort of didn't like it, but he got himself a milking cow, and that cow produced a lot of milk, and each year she'd have a calf, but each month the way he would do it, all of us boys, we had a week where we had to do the chores. That means we had to water the cow. There was no running water in the barn. And we had to carry 5-gallon buckets. And there were times, Casper, that cow could drink 15 gallons of water. That's a lot of water to have to carry out there to that cow. Didn't appreciate that very much. We had to feed the pigs. We had to feed the chickens. We had to gather the eggs. We had to do it. And at times, when it was my turn to do it, I felt like a slave, especially in the wintertime. Carrying that water up over those snow drifts, carrying the milk back to the house, have to do that before I had to catch the bus at 7:20 in the morning. It was no joyous thing. And I felt like a slave. And you all have felt like a slave. Even the ladies that are here tonight, when the homes that you were raised in, your mothers and grandmothers had expectations of you that you will do the dishes, you will prepare the meal, and it really wasn't in your heart to do it, and it was difficult to do it. You felt like a slave. But here tonight in these verses that I read, to bring it into context, what he was talking about here when he said, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. And then the verse that follows. And so what he was talking about here, he was speaking to the bond servants who were serving their earthly masters. They didn't use the word slave, but they were just almost as it were slaves. They were there at the beck and call of their master. Whatever their master wanted them to do, they had to go do it. The parable that I shared with you this morning that Jesus talked about, that master that prepared the banquet, he had a servant. And we could say bond servant of sorts. And when that banquet was prepared, he called his servant and he said, everything's prepared. Go out and tell them to come in. And you know the rest of the story if you was here this morning. And so that's who Paul was talking to here when he was writing to the Colossians. He was saying this. And so what would happen back then in the Roman world in the first century, bond servants, guess what they didn't have? And guess what children really don't have? And the world wouldn't like us to hear us say this, but the bondservant and children, even in the world that we live today, they don't have any rights. They don't have any rights. They are told what to do. Sorry, Riley, you don't have any rights. You are told what to do. And hopefully your parents are just with you. They do justice with you. But children don't look at it like that. You don't have any rights. You're a servant to your parents. You're a servant in that home. You're like a slave in that home. And so these bond servants were that way. And so for the Lord's sake, Paul was talking to them. And he said, they are called to go about their work with all of their heart. Even though it's expected of you, Paul said, when you go do it with all of your heart. You put your all into it. How much better was it for us guys and my brothers and myself and my brothers and whatever your situation was at home when your parents had expectations, whether it was cleaning your room, whether it was cutting the grass, shoveling the snow, milking the cow, doing the chores. How much better did you feel when you did it with all of your heart? One of my brothers, when he did chores, he definitely put his heart into it. Why, he even got a radio out there in that barn, and he had heard somewhere, and it was my brother Jim. I'll tell you who it was, and he's a man full of life. He still is today, although he's getting older. He had a radio out there in that barn, and when he was out there in that little barn that we had made, you could be over by the house and you could hear the music going out there. Because he had heard somewhere that if you play music to the cows, they'll produce more milk for you. And he'd be out there singing and just happy. And I mean, he was a happy guy. He was doing it with all of his heart. We didn't say it then. He didn't think about it. But he must have figured, I got to be here and do it anyways. I might as well enjoy myself. And it's for the sake of the Lord. And so for the Lord's sake, the bond servants were called to go about their work with all of their hearts. This took character, and it took the will of God. So what does that say to us today? Today in the kingdom of God, in the situation that you're in today, right now, tonight, you can easily begin to feel like, I'm nothing but a slave to God. I'm nothing but a slave to the pastor. I'm nothing but a slave to this church. I'm just told, do this and do that. I'm given this responsibility, and they just don't let me do it. They tell me how to do it. Didn't that irk you just a little bit when you were at home and your mother would say, do the dishes? And if she left it off there, you could handle that. But not only would she say, do the dishes, she would tell you how to do them. And well, how's that? You don't wash the pans first. You take any woman and you know, go do the dishes. And if you're teaching somebody younger how to do it and you see them grabbing the pans first, as the mother, as the adult, as the slave driver, you're going to say, that's not how you do it. You got to do this first. And so there's times that even in the work of God, we can feel like we have become a slave to God. And we end up serving God and doing what His expectation is of us, but we're not doing it with our heart. We're doing it because He's expecting me to do it. Don't ever let that be the case in your witness for the Lord. Well, I better witness to this one because God expects me to do it. And so here it goes. Hey, by the way, and you start a conversation and it falls flat on its face, falls straight to the ground, and then you justify yourself. I sort of figured it would go that way. Maybe it went that way because you weren't doing it with all of your heart. You were doing it because it was expected of you. Now, if I tell you and challenge you all this week, go out and invite somebody to church. Bring them to church with you here next week. And so you're thinking, well, the pastor told me to do it, so I better do that. There might be some of you that go out with all of your heart and say, we have a nice church, and I'd like you to come and worship with me. Don't even give them a chance to talk. I can come by and pick you up. Say, I'll be by at 9:30 on Sunday morning to pick you up, but I'll be expecting you. You know, what's your phone number? I'll send you a message or a text. That's doing it with all of your heart. But if you're just going to do it because the pastor suggested you do it, you know, you're going to find somebody. I was just wondering, you know, I go to church every Sunday, and I was just thinking it would be nice if you could come with me. I know you probably can't because I know you got a lot of things going on. But if you can fit it into your schedule, I would be willing to come by and give you a ride. And so you think about it and you let me know, you know, if you want to go. How do you think that's going to go? There's very little enthusiasm when I'm doing it. I'm not doing it as unto the Lord. I'm doing it because it's expected of me to do it. So we have to put enthusiasm into the things that we do. And so the bondservants were to think about this. And so it is for us who are free. We're not bondservants tonight in the natural sense. We're free. But I am a bondservant to the Lord. Are you a bondservant to the Lord tonight? If you are, say amen. I'm a bondservant to the Lord. I want to listen to Him. When He tells me to do something, I want to do what He wants me to do. And I want to do it with all of my heart. And so we can tie that together there. And so whether you're working for a boss or even a family member and even somebody in your own home, the art of working this way is to worship God. And what's the art of working this way? Whatever you're asked to do, you do it with all of your heart. Man, your boss will come to you. They'll ask you to do something at work, and they'll come and see what you did. And they'll say, man, you went above and beyond. I didn't expect you to go to that extent. Why did you do that? Because you're doing it as unto God and not unto man. You realize that you're going to answer to God someday. It's as though you're doing it for Jesus Himself. If Jesus were going to be the one that were to come by. So God created us in His image, and God called us, and God called all of us in more than just the natural sense, in the spiritual also. He has called us to be, and here's a word that people don't like to hear today. God has called all of us to be productive. Productive. Productive on the natural side. Productive on the spiritual side. He wants you to produce fruit. When's the last time you invited somebody to church? When's the last time you took somebody's hand and prayed with them? I was somewhere recently and someone wanted me to pray with them. They said, I would like you to pray about this situation. And I said, okay, I'll do that. I says, do you want me to pray right here, right now? And we were in a public place. They said, yes, I do. So I took the individual's hand and they closed their eyes. I closed my eyes. We shut everything out. And I prayed for them that God would help them. That's being productive. God wants us to be productive members of our society, and He also wants you to be productive children of God. Amen. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the fruit, spreading the word of God wherever you go. God wants us to be productive. We're created in His image. And so when this happens, it glorifies God when you do your work as unto the Lord, whatever it is. Even that thing that you detest the most, you do it as unto the Lord. I'm doing this as unto the Lord. God, you know, I don't really like this too much, but I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, and I'm going to do it as unto you. Romans chapter 14 and verse 12 says this, and this is something to think about. Every one of us, someday, we're going to give an account of ourselves to the Lord. And I shared that this morning. God doesn't want us to have wasted minutes and wasted hours in our life. And how much time is wasted in a person's life? And I just had read something recently, and they do surveys and statistics all of the time. And do you know that in a person's lifetime, how many ever years you live, it's like 4.2% of your lifetime is going to be spent in waiting. Just waiting. Who likes to wait? Man, you want something, you want it now. Well, 4% of your entire lifetime is going to be spent waiting. God wants us to be productive. We're going to give an account of ourselves to God. God, and I wrote it this way on my paper because I'm a country boy. This is a country boy's thing. God wants you to be worth your salt. He wants you to be worth your keep. He wants you to be productive. He's blessing you. He's helping you. Manifold blessings, His mercy and His grace, the direction that He gives you, the guidance that He gives you. We're studying it on Wednesday night. The Holy Spirit, He's our helper. He's our guide. He's there with us. He wants you to be a productive child. That's why He feeds you on Sunday mornings and on Sunday nights and in Bible studies. That's why He feeds you every day of the week, because He wants you to be productive. And that's why you feed your children. You want your children to become productive members of the household, of the family that they're in. You just don't want them there taking up space. God just does not want any of His children just to be taking up space. I'm just here. I'm not worth anything. There's nothing I can do. Lie. There's a lot that everybody can do. Some are limited on things that they can and can't do. But God knows your limitations. God knows your abilities. God knows your talents. And God doesn't say, oh, this one can do so much more, so they're going to receive a greater reward. And this one can't do much, so they're not going to get much of a reward. They're going to receive the same reward. Because they're doing what they're capable and able of doing. God wants you to be productive. He wants you to be worth your salt. The world is watching what you're doing. Have you ever been in a workplace? Have you ever been out in society, out in the community talking? And sometimes you'll run into conversations where somebody is talking about somebody that you know, and that person happens to be, or they confess or profess that they're Christians. And you'll hear a conversation of a couple people talking about that individual. And it just like brings shame to you. You're like, wow, you almost want to hang your head and walk away. There are many Christians that do not bear a good testimony of being productive members of society. And if you're not a productive member in the society, in the world that you're living, there's no way you can be a productive member in the kingdom of God. If you're lazy in this life, you're going to be lazy in the kingdom of God. In this life, if you're, and some people can't help it because of their disabilities, and I'm not after them. But if you're not productive in this life, and you're just looking for handouts all the time, you're going to treat God the same way. You're going to come into the kingdom of God, and you're going to think, God owes me. God owes me. Just because I'm in his kingdom, just because I'm his child, he owes me. God wants you to be productive. The world is watching. And so breaking this verse down just a little bit in closing, the first part of it says, in whatsoever you do. It says, in and whatsoever ye do. In whatsoever ye do. So everything that you do should bring glory to God, including those natural things, including the activities that you are involved in, including to the relaxation kind of things that you do, including the service that you give to God, the service that you give to your church. You do it for God's glory. It should bring glory to God. Whatever we do, it should bring glory to God. All of my activities. If I'm doing an activity that's not bringing glory to God, I need to stop doing that activity. Because whatever we do, we need to do it as unto the Lord. And the second part of that says, it says, do it, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Meaning, you do it with all of your heart. Whatever you do for God, do it with all of your heart. Whatever you do at your workplace, we pick on Brother Kyle because he works and he's an easy target. That's probably why we pick on him. Whatever you do, Brother Kyle, anybody that's here tonight, you do it with all of your heart. And there's a saying that I like, and I have a page on, or a profile on Facebook. And then they put in there, they want you to put in like your favorite sayings, unless somebody, you know, reached in there and changed it for me. Mine is this, and God wants us to do things with all of our heart. And there's a saying that goes like this: anything worth doing is worth doing right. If you're going to clean the church, it's worth doing right. If you're going to shovel the church's sidewalk, it's worth doing right. Your house in the community, the block that you live on, your house should be the nicest looking house. It doesn't have to be all in perfect repair. I'm not talking about that. The sidewalk should be nice. The grass should look nice. We shouldn't have garbage piled around. How is it when you travel around and you see a house that has a whole bunch of junk piled up in front of it? Well, Pastor, you're just going to meddle in a little bit here. That doesn't bring a very good thought to you, even as an individual. You walk by, drive by, and you're thinking, wow, if that looks like that outside of their house, I wonder what the inside of their house looks like. So we have to be careful. Anything worth doing is worth doing right. So as Christians, we should live a life where no energy or time is wasted. We don't want to waste any time or energy. The time and energy that I waste maybe could have been better used to bring a soul into the kingdom of God. And perhaps when we get to heaven, there's going to be people that don't make it to heaven because it's my fault. I wasted my time and energy on things that were frivolous, that didn't have any meaning to them, and I should have been out there working for God, but I was stuck on myself doing my own thing, and people died and went into eternity without God, and the blame is on me. It's a serious thing. We need to do whatever we're doing is unto the Lord. And then the last part of that verse says, Do it as to the Lord and not unto men. Do you know, when you're out there working in the church, in your secular work, in your spiritual work, you're doing it for the Lord. You're not doing it for man. The ones that drive the church bus, yes, they're doing it for the church. They're doing it for me. They're doing me a favor, but ultimately they're doing it for the Lord. There was someone for the last 2 years that has cut the church grass for us here. Someone that goes to the church here. Before that, we were paying $20 a week for somebody that's not a part of the church to come in and keep the grass cut for us. And they did it. And I said, hey, when he started doing it, I said, we'll pay you for doing it. They says, no, I don't want no pay for it. So they did it for 2 years already. So if you think about it, if you include the whole month of May, June, July, and August, and part of September, so it's probably, we'll just round it out to 20 times that the grass gets cut. That's $400. And they did it for 2 years. That's $800 that was saved, that the church was able to save by somebody just stepping forward and saying, I'll do it. But when they do it, they do a good job at it. They don't only mow. They run the weed eater. They trim. They run the broom. They get it looking good. We are doing, our motivation should be that we're working for God and we're not working for man. And our motivation for being busy, what motivates you to be busy? You know what your motivator should be? God. Brother Brad's retired now. Brother Eric works out at Kane Hardwood. I've been worked in places, it's hard at times to be motivated because the morale in places just gets so low by the way management does things. And I'm not saying they're doing things wrong out there. It's that way in every workplace. And to go to the workplace and punch the clock with motivation, that's rare. That's a hard thing to do. But our motivation isn't our employer. And I worked at the Lutheran Home at Kane for a lot of years. That's not my motivation. If they're motivating me, I would have poor motivation. In the places that you work, if they're motivating you, you would have poor motivation. You and even in your home life, what's your motivation? Well, I'm going to do my chores because if I do my chores all week, Dad said on every Friday night, he's going to take us out and buy us pizza. So that's my motivation. That'll make me do it. Our motivation needs to be God. Our love for God. God is the one that motivates me. He's the one that puts the fire under me to do things and do them correctly and right. Amen. So God is our motivation. And not only is he our motivation, he will help you to do your work. Whether it's secular work that we talked about a little bit tonight, or whether it's spiritual things when you're ministering to other souls, bringing souls into the kingdom of God, being a witness to them, God will motivate you to help you do that. And he will be there with you. Amen. And so the authority, according to the word of God, the last verse, knowing that the Lord, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. So the authority that your earthly bosses have, the authority that your parents have, the authority that your superiors have, amen, the authority that they have comes from God. God designed it that way. What would society be like? What would the church be like if there was nobody really in charge? Everybody, you go to work, you go to your workplace, wherever you work, and you come out there every day, and you have all your employees, you have enough to fill every position, and you just say, just pick what you want to do. How would that place run? How would that place run? Everybody might want to do the same thing that day. There has to be authority there. God has designed it that way. God has designed it to be for there to be authority. So what do we got to do? We got to keep plowing. We got to keep working. And we got to keep busy for the Lord. And don't become faint of heart. Don't become faint of heart. And it's easy. It's, you know what you need to do sometimes? Spiritually speaking also. It'll help you. You might not have ever heard it said this way. So many times we're so concerned about what everybody else isn't doing. And then it affects us. In the workplace, it's that way. Well, this one gets away with that. This one doesn't do this. This one doesn't do that. And they're expecting me to do this, to pick up their slack. That can be disheartening. And that can bleed right over into the kingdom of God. We can begin to look at what everybody else in the church is doing. Well, they're not doing that. This one isn't doing this. This one isn't doing that. And it takes the air right out of our balloon. It takes the wind out of our sail. We can't let that happen to us. Amen. We can't become faint of heart. Sometimes what I'm starting out with, sometimes what we need to do in the natural sense and in the spiritual sense is put spiritual blinders on. so that I don't see everything that's going on around me. I don't see how everybody else is performing. I'm not going to compare myself to them. This is that work. This is between me and God. And everything I do, I'm going to do it as unto the Lord. We're going to keep that positive attitude. We're going to be motivated. And we're going to know that we are working for God and it's going to make a difference. And so the race, don't become faint of heart. The race isn't won to the fastest, but it is won by those who endure unto the end, to the finish line. And just two scriptures in closing. And we're almost done here, so I don't think anybody's getting nervous. But Matthew chapter 24, and I want to read verse 13. The race isn't to the fastest, but is won by those who endure to the end. The one that gets to the finish line and has the right attitude. And you just like to meet those kind of people that anything they do, they're doing it right. They're doing it the way it should be done. Matthew 24, and verse 13, it says this. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same that shall, But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. I haven't been, but just giving you an example, I could have been perfect all of my life, right up to this point. Always had a good attitude about everything. Always listened to my parents. Always there to give a helping hand. Always there to make everybody's life better. Just doing it with all of my heart. I could have been serving God up to this point in my life, doing it with all of my heart, putting all into it and serving God, doing a wonderful job. But if I stop now at this point in the race, I'm not going to make it. I have to endure unto the end. I have to keep working for the God. I have to keep plowing. I have to keep sowing the seed. You have to keep on unto the end. The same shall be saved. And the last verse is over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 in verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. We're going to read this in closing today. 1 Corinthians 9, 24. What does it say to us? It says this. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And who is it that receives the prize? The one that crosses the finish line. You got to cross the finish line. We're not into heaven yet. We have a little bit of heaven on earth, but we're not there yet. We have to endure unto the end. I'm not saying it's easy. Just put your heart into what you're doing. Do it to the best of your ability. And just highlighting a little bit what I shared. If you have to, put those blinders on. And blinders are made so all you can do is see straight ahead. I don't see what this one's doing, what that one's doing. I don't see what's going on behind me. I just see what's going on before me. And your life will be much better. You'll be much more productive for the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you'll help us tonight, God, that we will learn this lesson, that whatever we do, we will do it with all of our heart, God. We'll put our heart and our soul into it, God, because we'll realize that you are our motivation. God, that's why we do the things that we do. God, we're going to receive our rewards from you. God, and we run that over into our natural lives too, into the things we do in our workplace and the works and responsibilities that we have in our home. God, in general, in our life, God, we're working for you. Although we're doing it for man, God, we're working for you. When it comes into helping and working in the kingdom of God, Lord, we are working for you. God, I'm not worried about what somebody else is doing. God, I'm not worried about what you think about somebody else, God. I'm concerned about what you think about me. God, I want to be a productive member of your family, God. I want to be doing what you would have me to do. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for it. Now, let's stand to our feet. Let's sing that little chorus. Amen. Because God will speak to us. I think we sang this a couple of weeks ago. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'm going to be somewhere listening for my name. Jesus, I want to be a productive member of your family. There's perhaps been times in your life, probably all of us, we did it different ways, but we had to go to our parents, grandparents. We had to apologize. Sometimes we were made to apologize. They were trying to teach us discipline and a lesson, but we had to say, I'm sorry that I did such a poor job mowing the yard. My heart wasn't in it. I'm sorry that I didn't do a good job on getting the dishes clean. My heart wasn't in it. I was just doing it because it was expected of me. And also we can take that to the spiritual side. There might be forgiveness that you need to ask of God. God, I'm sorry. I've been doing, you fill in the blank, whatever it is for your kingdom, But my heart really wasn't in it. I just was doing it because it was expected of me, and I didn't do the best that I could do. And help me tonight, God. I'm going to listen for your voice and what you would have me to do. Let God help you tonight. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. When he calls for me, I will answer. When he calls my name, I will hear him. When he calls for me, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, when he calls for me, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will listen. When he calls for me, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. And before we close in prayer, is there anybody that needed special prayer tonight? Amen. Whether you come up here or just call out, amen, we can pray for your situation that God will help you, because he cares. And the enemy wants to make you feel like God doesn't care about you. Look at all the fail. How many times have failed God this week? And are you kidding me? You're going to ask this God to help you now after you treated him the way you did this week? And so we just quiet. We need to rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're not living up to what God wants us to do. Amen. And the blessings that he has for us. So listen for the voice of God. Put all your heart into what you're doing. Yeah, I love little children sometimes. You give them the job to do, man, it's a big deal to them. It could be a simple thing. They're putting all their heart into it. They're focused on what they're doing. Their tongue might be coming out of their mouth, and you call their name, they don't even hear you because they're putting their heart into what they're doing.